I like you better with glasses.
Too bad. I like me better without them.
Hey, pretty fans. Welcome to another episode of the Better With Glasses podcast. I am your host, Vicky Bazalia, and with me, as always, is Casey.
Hey, hey.
And we are here today to do a very quick bonus episode.
Reviewing Hadestown.
Yes.
Fresh off Broadway.
Yes.
Fresh off the strip.
Fresh off what? Me traveling for work, having an entire week being sick, going...
Sicky Vicky.
Going up to New York.
Which is fun as hell.
So fun.
Yeah.
And the entire trip was centered around...
Seeing Lola on Broadway.
Yes. Yes, yes, yes. So, I guess I posted... I definitely posted that we were... Or that I was sick. Which, apologies for not getting out some episodes that we promised to get out. But here they all come. Rapid fire.
Right, right, right.
But I guess people... I must have posted something where people knew that we were going to see Lola. And the outpouring of... loving messages.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. I'm familiar with those.
Oh, my goodness. Like, oh, my gosh. I'm so happy you get to see her. I hope you get to meet her.
Yeah, people were definitely feeling like they... I don't know if they were... They're happy that you were seeing her. They probably also wanted to see them herself.
Right, themselves. Of course. Yeah, and then, you know, we realized...
We're lucky that we live so close to New York City and we're able to get up there.
Exactly. Exactly. Because not everybody does, right?
How about that? Yeah, yeah, yeah. Some, like, people... If you're a fan of... TSITP and you live in fucking North Dakota, that's a long ass trip.
Some of our pretty fans are in, like, Sydney, Australia, and
Antarctica, France,
and I don't know if we've hit Antarctica yet. Maybe people in Antarctica don't like summer shows, or maybe they do.
I think the only people that live in Antarctica are the ones who are in like the testing facility. We've gone off the rails here.
Yes, we live fairly close to New York. It's a quick drive up. So yeah, in a lot of ways we are
very lucky.
Lucky to get to go and see her on Broadway.
But we did get to see her and she was awesome and the show was really cool. If you aren't hip to Hadestown, Hadestown. I don't know exactly the words, but then there's that song. There's the
Wait For Me.
Yes, that, I mean, I can give you guys a rousing rendition of Wait For Me if you want one of these days, you know. Yeah.
Okay, let's just go through how we got there.
So Vicky booked this whole trip, right? Booked this whole trip around, like, she was way ahead of the game. Yeah. And I'm just like, all right, let me know where I got to be and I'll be there. Mm-hmm. So we do it. And then it turns out that there's a really big basketball game that same night.
You're gonna go into this.
So the game is at 6. It's UVA versus Duke, and the game's at 6. The show's at 8. So I'm like, all right, we'll do our thing in the city. We'll go shopping, and then we'll find our way somewhere to watch the game at 6.
Yeah, mind you,
it was like
it's raining all day, yeah. On Saturday.
So we go to a place that's like right nearby the Walter Kerr Theater where Belly's show is at.
And we sit
down, have a couple of drinks, we're watching the game, and like the worst case scenario that could happened, and my team at UVA is just getting their doors blown off. They're down by like 20 points like within the first 10 minutes of the game, and it never recovers. So now I'm feeling like all sad going into this
production
and it took me a while to, you know, get right.
Yeah.
But finally I was like, all right, I put it behind me and I'm like, all right, let's go see Lola in the show.
Do you remember what you said as we were watching?
Well, I'm just like, this is very low stakes because there's no way that Lola's gonna lose by 30 in this well, Broadway show.
You said that and I was like, low stakes, what do you mean? Because I'm thinking like, oh yeah, like she still has to do a good job and put on a good performance and it's live. And you're like, well, Lola's not going to lose by fucking 30.
Yeah, they're not keeping score here, okay? And they're going to love Lola regardless.
Yeah, so.
But yeah, we got there. It's a pretty small theater.
Oh, yeah, very
small. Yeah, very intimate experience.
It's the Walter Kerr Theater. So as some of you guys know, Broadway is the street over from the main street, like 7th in Times Square. So it's an 8 o'clock at night showing. So when you're walking around Times Square, like 6 o'clock, 7 o'clock, it's like tourist central. All the lights are on, very big, and you turn down this little street, and there's the big Broadway sign, and Lola on the marquee outside.
Yeah, we were there like an hour early, nobody in line, right? We go, we're like, let's kill some time. We go to this spot across the street. We're sitting there, da-da-da-da-da, having some nachos. Vicky gets a nosebleed. That was insane.
Yeah, I was still like sniffly, sneezy, and yeah.
That helped take my mind off the basketball game because I went in medic mode and I, you know, got her taken care of.
Yeah.
So then we walked back out to go to the theater and only like a half an hour had passed, but now the fucking line is around the corner. I'm like, God damn, we should have been waiting in this line instead of going over to this restaurant. So now it did move quickly, but wait in line, get in there. It was like, I couldn't believe how small and intimate it was. I was thinking like massive auditorium. Not really.
I mean, some Broadway shows have that big, like Hamilton, Wicked, they have the bigger auditorium.
Yeah.
I thought it was much smaller than.
Yeah, it's kind of like not similar to a theater we'd have here in town in Charlottesville.
Yeah. Right. But really, really lovely, really pretty. The seats that I got were really like literally dead center, bottom floor, not on the balcony level.
Yeah, like, and it's small enough where like the ushers are just like saying like, hey, everyone, all right, get into your seat. Like the show's about to start in five minutes.
Right.
There was a concession stand, which was cool. You got the Hadestown Cup. They had merch.
They had booze.
Booze, Twizzlers.
Shout out to the Twizzlers. Yo,
I was hungry and drunk, and I had a whole box of Whoppers. I didn't never eat Whoppers. You know,
it was quite an experience.
It was quite an experience. But then the show starts, and Lola, fucking fantastic.
Amazing.
Yeah, she was, like, I think it was a very safe move for Lola, right? Like, it's a big role, and I think some of the bigger songs come at the end, but it's not like, I wouldn't say Eurydice is the lead of the show.
No, or Orpheus is definitely.
Yeah, she's like probably the second to third.
Yeah.
Most important. Like, she has some really important things to do, but Orpheus is like the guy. And I think there's four kind of leads.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
Hades, the
Persephone.
Persephone, I call her Poison Ivy because that's what she looked like.
She wears a green dress.
Yeah. Eurydice and Orpheus.
Yeah.
And yeah. So there's four of them. And I thought it was safe that to get into a show where she's one of four leads.
Yeah.
For her first Broadway show.
Right.
Instead of being like Death of a Salesman or something where it's like, you know, one person carrying the show. So.
Well, then also she had mentioned on an interview we just listened to that she felt like it, like that it was a safe place to go outside of her comfort zone.
Well, bro, she said in the interview that she knew the lyrics to these songs even before she had Summer Turn Pretty.
Yeah.
Like she saw it.
But she's like a self-proclaimed theater nerd who grew up in and around New York City.
But like, you know, I've done some acting in my day. If I would feel comfortable too, if it's a text that I'm familiar with, like I've known this stuff for 5 years. And I like, if this is a really safe, comfortable way to get into Broadway.
I think also I didn't, just because I'm so obsessed with The Summer I Turned Pretty and I've made you watch Lola's high school videos that have leaked singing. Like I was aware that she had a very, very good voice.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, from interviews that obviously she studied at LaGuardia and then she went to Carnegie Mellon. So she's been classically trained in theater and singing. So it wasn't too much of a logical leap. Jordan Fisher, who I really only knew from the second to All the Boys.
That motherfucker movies, get after it.
He was, not to bury the lead on Lola, but like he was so good. And
he is like the voice.
So, but
and in the show, they kind of like, it's built around like this guy's got a song that could change the whole world. And like then he starts singing. It's like, oh, shit. He's like that motherfucker.
But the reason I bring it up is because talking about the safe space thing.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's really hard to be an actor who is on a big platform with a lot of notoriety, like The Summer I Turned Pretty, like Lola, and then to go do Broadway. If she was the only actor that like, oh, we're just going to give this random girl who just happens to be Belly a shot at Broadway, then a lot of the critical reviews would be all about her. But Jordan, who also came from a different media, had been on Broadway for a little bit. He'd been a little bit more of a veteran. And he, so now you have two kind of iconic, same age, same fan demographic there. When we were there, there were so many young girls there, and young girls with their moms, and then, like, obviously people who just love theater. But I was just so brainwashed. I was like, oh my gosh, you guys are here for Belly too. And then during intermission, when I was going to, like, using the restroom or whatever, like, everybody, like, half the audience was there to see Jordan Fisher, and they knew all about him.
The monster, man.
And they had watched the slime tutorial videos on TikTok about him, and they were talking about how impressed they were with Lola. Yeah. You see what I'm saying? Like, you go looking for one thing, and then it's like, oh, the Summer I Turned Pretty Girl can actually sing. And I had the opposite experience. So I was like, I knew Lola could sing. I was excited to see her. But then I was like, wait, this dude that was playing the piano quietly with Lara Jean in Jenny's other feature is an amazing singer.
Yeah, and this is a tale as old as time, you know. Hollywood, you get jaded by Hollywood and the whole experience and big budgets and all that bullshit and big sets, and you're like, I got to get back to my roots.
Yeah.
So big actors have been going back to Broadway for years and years and years, you know, like, and Lola's a New York theater
geek.
Yeah. So this is like,
self-proclaimed.
Yeah. So like, that's what you do. You always get back to the theater.
Yeah.
You always get back to the theater.
But the ability to do it at such a young age, so early in her career, it's like, boom, boom. Like, we've always made the joke, like, oh, she's just got to play Disney princess next, right? And it's like such an early catalog for her. That's amazing.
Like, it is Broadway, but I feel like that stage is not too big for Belly.
No.
Lola, not at all. She did really well. She knew the text. That's why I'm saying it's a kind of a safe choice for her. But at the same time, knowing the words to the songs isn't the same as acting them on stage with a whole bunch of blocking that needs to be done and, like, action that needs to be done with her hands and moving the story along. So I thought that was the most impressive part. Like, the songs, they're good. And then at the end, she really brought it home with the Wait For Me reprise. Like, this girl lights like 100 matches on the stage during the show. And I'm like, yo, she didn't fuck up once. Yeah. She did good with the matches the entire fucking show.
Well, because that's with theater, right? It's like all about, to your point, blocking and placement and props.
Yeah.
And, like, changing and going off stage and coming back on stage.
Yeah, so I feel like that was the most important, the most impressive part of her performance was all the regular theater stuff, yeah. Not necessarily the musical stuff. She did really well with
all of it.
Yeah, she killed. Because you only get one shot on,
yeah,
on stage, you know, right. What I'm saying? Yeah. On a TV show, you can get,
yeah,
take two.
Yeah, like you
one
can
shot.
Do, yeah, you can do a scene like 20 times, and you can also, the director can ask you to do the same scene, like try it 5 different ways.
Yeah.
And we'll see which way works best. And sometimes an actor, you don't even know what ends up in the final cut.
True. So what were your thoughts?
So I was in choir,
mm-hmm.
and the choir kids were always friends with the theater kids. So right. We would go to the shows.
And the band kids are always friends with the theater because they're, the band has to play while the show is
sometimes
going on.
In the pit, yeah.
There you go.
Yeah, so I guess that's my way of saying, like, back in the old day, when you would steal music, I was downloading an equal amount of, like a lot of, like, Les Mis I listened to, Phantom of the Opera, like, when Rent came out, oh my god.
I like Les Mis, too, to be clear.
Yeah?
Yeah, sure. It was a big popular song that I liked from that.
Like, Hamilton.
Hamilton, you got me into. Hamilton was fire.
Hamilton I got really deep into, but Hadestown, I went in with zero expectations of the actual show because I didn't know a lot of the songs. I didn't know a lot of the story. So I got to actually watch it. There were no expectations other than, like,
yeah,
I'm excited to see Lola, but I'm actually, like, taking in the entire show for the first time.
Yeah.
So, like, when shit like when the lights went out or when the stage moved or when the background changed or when the lamps were swinging.
The lamps were swinging, were dope. That was a really cool choreographed scene. The fates were the really good part of the show.
Yeah. So, yeah, all of that was new to me. I will admit, though, I think I said this to you during intermission. I think I blacked out for the first maybe 5 minutes because I really, like, when you're watching a theatrical production, really, you're supposed to take it all in and see what everyone's doing, because like somebody downstage could be doing something different from somebody upstage. Sure. And I'm like, the first 5 minutes, I literally just followed Lola around the stage. Like, there could have been no one else on stage. When it first starts, they're like introducing some of the characters, and they set it up almost like a school. So everybody's like sitting down in seats. Mm-hmm. And Lola was there, and you're like, hey, look, it's Belly. It's Belly. And I didn't even see her come out. And then I like saw her sitting there. And then I literally just watched her for the first 5 minutes. And then I kind of like settled down. I'm like, okay, she's like a real part of this thing. Like, she's not going to disappear, right? She's, if anything, she's going to become more and more important to the story. So I was able to kind of like let it sink in.
Yeah. The narrator was really, really solid.
She was great. Yeah. But you're going to make fun of me.
What?
But like chills. When I first heard her sing, it wasn't not her first solo song. Mm-hmm. The first time I saw her open her mouth and sing as a part of the opening number, I was like, oh, she can sing.
We knew she could sing.
I know.
Y'all are tripping.
I know. But like, as somebody who grew up, like where you have to sing on stage, it's just like, it's so different to go out there and sing loudly, all mic'd up in front of a huge audience.
I got faith, man. I got faith in Lola.
She was great.
She was really, I mean,
she killed it.
She, what's his face? Jordan Fisher.
Yeah.
I think he really.
He brought down the house. Yeah.
And Lola brought down the house with her final song.
Yes.
Because the songs that are given to Lola kind of sprinkled in throughout the show, mm-hmm. aren't the most like powerhouse numbers.
Yeah.
They give her like some lullaby type stuff.
Yeah. Well, they're sweet, introspective, yeah. Like you call them lullaby, but like they're not big, belty, big production with lots of choreography. Yeah. They're not those types of songs.
But then there's a couple in the beginning that she has some good ones in the beginning. The middle is kind of like the lullaby yeah. stuff. But and then the end is brings down the house. Yeah, with the
duet of her and Jordan.
Yeah.
Like she said it, like the falling in love. Mm-hmm. One,
a lot of choreographed stuff.
That was great. Yeah.
So makes me feel like we only get one life to live, right? We got to do a community theater show.
Oh boy.
I mean, why are we going to waste all of our untapped potential here? We're going to get into the next year's.
I think I've tapped
no,
my
you
potential
haven't.
In a lot of different
next year's
ways.
Christmas show, Elf, at the local theater.
I don't think
I can see you.
Local theater.
There are so many. We're in Charlottesville, bro. There are so many theater troops here. Community theater.
I don't think it's going to happen for me, bro.
Oh, I can see it.
Nope. Well, before we actually wrap up here,
mm-hmm.
do you have a favorite Eurydice moment?
Yeah, the final scene.
The final? Well, no. The final, like when...
We are not alone.
Sports.
I feel right and alone. That part.
The reprise.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, that's right. Like...
I know. I was waiting for it because I saw it on TikTok and I was like, oh my God, I can't wait until that part. I didn't know it was part of the finale.
If you're allowed to scream in the outside or in this room, you can sing it yourself.
Yeah.
It's a hard song to just sing gently.
Yeah. But she does an amazing job on that one. We just got done watching somebody on YouTube put together, they spliced together. I guess it was Eva, I'm forgetting her name now, but Eva, who played Eurydice, then Celia, who played Eurydice before Lola, and then Lola. And what's so interesting about Broadway in general and the fact that they switch cast around is that everybody brings their own version to the character. So you can go see the same. If you love a Broadway show, you could literally go see it every single year and get a different experience and enjoy the same songs. So they posted this video and they asked, like, who is your favorite Eurydice? Normally, I would say I'm a little bit biased, so I had Casey watch it and verify. You guys will have to watch it and verify, but Lola's Eurydice brings such an innocence to it.
Yeah, it's much different than the other ones. The other ones, like you said, were like, this is my moment. I'm gonna fucking bring that house down with my loud voice. Beautiful song.
Yeah.
And Lola is like so much more movement and acting and like the desperation somebody said.
Yeah.
It's very that
like she plays it in like such a
post that innocent... video in the comments. Okay. In the description of this. Okay. Shit.
Yeah.
Because it's fucking important.
Yeah. Yeah. Because you can, there's a couple different ways you can play the character, and it's like strong and confident and belty and powerhouse, bring it down. Or the way that Lola does it is like she just has such an innocence that she brings to the character, and it's like this like sad, tragic desperation that I think fits. Like, if you know how Hadestown ends, spoiler alert, it's not a happy ending, and they even say that, like, it's not a happy story that's being told, and it fits so well. But that was the one and only performance I've ever seen of Hadestown. So
right.
To see it spliced together with the other Eurydices was kind of cool.
Yeah, we should definitely give some love to Hades too.
Do you remember any of your like favorite moments? There were certain moments where like
everything Hades did was very important. Yeah. And impressive.
He's talking like Hades, by the way, guys.
Hades is the big, he's basically the devil.
Yeah, he's great.
He is a big man.
He calls Lola a little songbird. Little songbird.
And he sings like this too.
Anyhow. What were your favorite musical numbers?
I don't know how many times I could say this into this microphone. Wait for me, reprise.
Okay, all right. But there was another one. You like the one where
way down in Hadestown.
No, not that one. You like, I built the wall.
Yes. That's why we build the wall. We build the wall to keep us free. And then Hades comes in with his voice like this. Like,
you love it. Yeah.
How does the wall keep us free?
Yes. That one was the first time. Like, we're watching it, and Casey like turns to look at me. And his eyes get all big, and he's like, yo, this song, like, if he could say it out loud.
Like, this song is fire.
He's like, this song slaps.
Can we play it?
Yeah.
Hold on.
Well, that's why I wanted, sorry I was pulling it out of you, but I'm like, you.
Tell us about the wall song.
You loved that song.
Man, that's all jokes aside, that's a pretty touching song. It's a lot of like, it's a beautiful song.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of, like, political stuff that you can tie to it.
Right.
Like, you ever hear people always say that the times we're living in are the worst. It's just recency bias. Like, this is a super old story.
Mm-hmm.
The problems that we have, we've always had. And it's just, you know, the people who are currently living in them always think their problems are the worst.
Right.
But we're not living in the worst times.
Right. But the big metaphor for it, right, is there's the underworld and there's the real world. And the real world is hard. And down in the underworld, everything is manufactured and everything's curated, but it's not life. It's not real. And then in the real world, they talk about the seasons. So it's kind of like, yeah, everybody, you remember that song where they were all getting drunk? And like Lola's playing Eurydice, and Eurydice's like not really joining in. And then she starts dancing. Like, that's a good part, but that's like summertime. And then winter comes, and then she's like emaciated and she's starving. And it's like when the chips are down. It was so weird. Like, I was thinking deeply during that part, and I'm like, oh, because the way that they were talking about how starving she was, it was like she knows the right thing to do, but she's like lured to the underworld, which is like a metaphor. Yeah,
sell her soul for
a metaphor for like what actually happens in the real world. Like when like hard times fall, like people do illegal shit.
They dumb themselves down. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Why do we build the wall?
Love it.
All right.
But Lola did great. We're so happy that we got to see her. I was so sad that we went to the Saturday show, obviously, because we're working individuals with lives back in Virginia. But two nights before, that's when Jenny, Jackie Chung, Sean Kaufman, and Elsie Fisher all went to the show. And I was like, man, they could have just waited 2 days. But obviously.
Well, they were probably saying the same thing. They were like, 2 days after we were here, the Bedrock Glasses team was in the crowd.
I'm sure.
That's crazy. Yeah.
A couple of nights ago, Tom Everett Scott, who plays Adam Fisher, is there supporting Lola. Sydney Sweeney was there the other night. That's cool. And then in the most recent Chris Briney Teen Vogue article, he was like, yeah, I gotta get to seeing Lola on Broadway.
Chris Briney and his new mustache.
Don't even.
Listen, it happened.
Bro.
It happened, bro.
Bro. Oh, you were really proud of Chris for his Armani shoot. You're like, yo, like, some no normal cap. You're like, no cap, that's a big deal.
Oh, the fact that he got it. Yeah, yeah. Yo, because that cologne was like, everyone wanted Acqua Di Gio back in the day.
Right.
All right, so we just got back from New York, and now our next trip, we're going to definitely pop into Wilmington for a weekend and see if we could see any of the upcoming shoots. That would be cool.
Oh, yeah, they're going to get...
That would be ideal.
They're going to get started soon.
But, you know, while we're down there, lots of other fun things to do.
Well, we told everyone on the podcast that we actually are looking to ideally get a property out there.
So. Oh, yeah, that's true.
So, yeah.
So we'll stay on that same... Yeah, beach.
We want to go. And then we've been talking about the last 2 years, we went to Hawaii. And we're like, we're not going to do like a
big... We're not doing Hawaii this year. We're going to do Seattle for the Justin Timberlake concert.
Yeah.
Baseball game.
But as we get towards the period of time where we have gone to Hawaii in the
past. Now we're itching to go back to Hawaii. We usually go to Hawaii super early in the year, right? Mm-hmm. So then you're getting all that good sun for like 10 days. And then you got your... base level of tan for the entire year.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And then so now I'm like, man, I'm gonna be pasty all year.
Splitting the difference here. And I don't know, it's not gonna be extremely hot, but there is sun in Wilmington. When we went, it was kind of nice, but we went when it was sort of cold and in November. So I want to see it with the sun. There's a cool pier at Carolina Beach that I want to see. And if it happens to coincide, which I know it does, shooting of the third season of The Summer I Turned Pretty, let's do it.
Yeah, maybe we can, maybe someone will let us know if there are any filming locations coming up or something.
Well, they always let the town know when they're filming.
Well, maybe
locations.
we can blend in like a couple of townsfolk.
Yeah, but really what they do is they say, plan your routes differently because we're going to be shutting down this entire street.
They're like,
for filming.
They're all like, why do we build the wall? We build the wall
to keep y'all crazy fans
fuckers out. Dog.
Is what they do. But anyway,
I think that's a good place to end.
Super excited. Yeah, okay. Super excited. So we're going to get down to Wilmington. Who knows? Maybe I'll try to see if we can be some background actors or extras or something like that.
Scratch my community theater itch.
Exactly.
So like everyone, hang on, I got an idea for this scene.
Exactly. Have I ever said it on here that I did? You've done background acting, right?
Yep.
Up in New York.
In the city.
In the city, yeah. And I've done it literally in Wilmington for One Tree Hill.
Yeah, a couple of experienced background actors here.
Yeah. So it's like, yeah. So if the timing matches up, like I'm not going to drive 5 hours just to be in the background of a Conrad's. And no, actually, I think take that back. I think I actually would.
I was a murderer on this Discovery Channel show called On the Case with Paula Zahn. It's now like, it's gotten, they're still going.
You found it recently.
Yeah, you can pull up the episode. I'm in it like a ton as one of the killers. It's like a reenactment scene. You don't get to see my face, but I did a whole lot of acting.
You're like, those are my hands?
Like, that's me killing, like...
Putting on the gloves?
Putting on the gloves and putting the rope. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes, I did.
Anyway.
$75.
Yeah, exactly. I did a spot on One Tree Hill and I got like $50 because they had to pay me for 2 days because they basically just keep you in the waiting room until it's your time to go, and then they drive you out in the set.
I got stories for days of this.
It's pretty fun. It's pretty fucking cool though. So I don't know. I don't know if we'll get that lucky, but if we can, while we're down there in Wilmington, it'd be a good time.
So thanks for checking us out, guys. BetterWithGlassesPod@gmail.com. Any questions, comments, concerns? @BetterWithGlassesPod on Instagram. Vicky is always hip to the game and quick to answer you.
Yeah, and thank you to everybody who requested this episode because
for you guys
either wanted to hear our take on it or just hear us or live
or a little, hear me sing.
Live a little vicariously.
Or hear me sing my song.
There you go.
Sing my song.
See, so if y'all can go and see Hadestown on Broadway, Walter Kerr Theater, Lola Tung as Eurydice, Jordan Fisher as Orpheus, it's a good time. And she's only doing it until March 17th before I think they gotta head out to Wilmington.
It'll definitely stick in your head.
Thanks everyone for listening, and we'll see you next time.